Atma bihi, by the self-controlled. Translation and purport goes to Divine Grace, Esa Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Who is the Lord of Sacrifice, and how does he live in the body, O Madhusudan? And how can those engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? Purport. The Lord of Sacrifice may refer to either Indra or Vishnu. Vishnu is the chief of the primal demigods, including Brahma and Shiva. And Indra is the chief of the administrative demigods. Welcome. If you like, you can take a seat here. Both Indra and Vishnu are worshipped by yajna performances. But here, Arjuna asks who is actually the Lord of yajna, sacrifice, and how the Lord is residing within the body of the living entity. Arjuna addresses the Lord as Madhusudan because Krishna once killed a demon named Madhu. Actually, these questions, which are of the nature of doubts, should not have arisen in the mind of Arjuna, because Arjuna is a Krishna-conscious devotee. Therefore, these doubts are like demons. Since Krishna is so expert in killing demons, Arjuna here addresses him as Madhusudan so that Krishna might kill the demonic doubts that arise in Arjuna's mind. Now the word Prayanakale. If you like to go, you can just put them here. Yeah, thank you very much. Downstairs in the cellar we have a kitchen if you are hungry. Oh, is it? Wonderful. Yeah. If you like, downstairs in the cellar there's one small kitchen and there's usually some prasadam and some drinks and everything. Please serve yourself. I'm incapable of doing this now, but welcome. Have a nice time here. Arjuna addressed the Lord as Madhusudan because Krishna once killed a demon named Madhu. Actually, these questions, which are of the nature of doubts, should not have arisen in the mind of Arjuna, because Arjuna is a Krishna-conscious devotee. Therefore, these doubts are like demons. Since Krishna is so expert in killing demons, Arjuna here addresses him as Madhusudan so that Krishna might kill the demonic doubts that arise in Arjuna's mind. Now the word Prayanakale in this verse is very significant, because whatever we do in life will be tested at the time of death. Arjuna is very anxious to know of those who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness. What should be their position at the final moment? At the time of death, all the bodily functions are disrupted and the mind is not in a proper condition. Thus disturbed by the bodily situation, one may not be able to remember the Supreme Lord. Maharaj Kulashekha, a great devotee, prays, "My dear Lord, just now I am quite healthy, and it is better that I die immediately, so that the swan of my mind can seek entrance at the stem of your lotus feet." The metaphor is used because the swan, a bird of the water, takes pleasure in digging into the lotus flowers. Its sporting proclivity is to enter the lotus flower. Maharaj Kulashekha says to the Lord, "Now my mind is undisturbed and I am quite healthy. If I die immediately thinking of your lotus feet, then I am sure that my performance of your devotional service will become perfect. But if I have to wait for my natural death, then I do not know what will happen, because at that time the bodily functions will be disrupted, my throat will be choked up, and I do not know whether I shall be able to chant your name. Better let me die immediately." Arjuna questions how a person can fix his mind on Krishna's lotus feet at such a time. Again the verse, Ariyakyakatankotra tehisme marasurana payanakale chakatam keyusi niyatatmavi. Who is the Lord of Sacrifice, and how does he live in the body, O Madhusudan? And how can those engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? So, first of all, welcome everybody to today's evening class. when I prepared that verse to give the class, I was actually very much astonished, because just two verses before, at the end of the seventh chapter, Krishna just says that those in full consciousness of me, who know me, the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation, of the demigods, and of the methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of God, at even at the time of death. And then, Arjuna just says this statement, and he introduces these three terms, Adiyakya, Adibhuta, and Adidaiva. And then immediately on the spot, Arjuna inquires further into that. Even though Krishna said that actually I am these things, I am the governing principle of all these different things. And also that Krishna says, by understanding me as this governing principle of these different things, one can attain me. So now Arjuna is on the spot inquiring, okay, in yesterday evening's verse, he asked the first five things. O Supreme Person, what is Brahman? What is the Self? What are fruitive activities? What is this material manifestation? And what are the demigods? Please explain this to me. And today he finishes his questions by asking him, okay, but who is the Lord of Sacrifice and how does he live in a body? And also, how can a person that is engaged in devotional service remember you at the time of death? These are all very significant questions, particularly the last question, how can one who is engaged in devotional service know Krishna at the time of death? Actually, usually in the material world we try to forget the death, right? We just don't want to see it, or, you know, we feel very uncomfortable if, you know, in some place some person, let's say on the street, he dies or something, has a heart attack or something. Once I remember I was in Munich, somewhere in a shopping street, and then in one of these shopping centers, suddenly an old man, he got a heart attack or something, and everybody was immediately like, you know, around him and looking, but nobody knew exactly what to do. So people felt very uncomfortable to be confronted with such a situation. But actually it's quite natural. It's just because in our modern civilization we try to put these things aside, right? We don't want to look at old age and disease, you know, or death. We just put the old people in the old age house and the sick people in some hospitals, or, you know, so far away. Why? Because in the material consciousness we want to enjoy. And to be faced, to be confronting these different things is not very pleasant. This is actually also when Buddha encountered these unpleasant things, he immediately gave up. You know, and he was the crown prince, basically, and the only son of his father, as far as I know. And then he immediately left home and started to meditate and everything. So this is something that is very astonishing. But actually this is natural from the material point of view, because material nature is just like that, it's temporary. And there are sufferings. It's no use in trying to avoid these things. So therefore the transcendentalist, for example the yogi, the jnani, or the bhakta, they are all inclined to make the best out of their lives. Even the kamis, karmakandis, people who are interested to gain entrance into the heavenly planets for so-called heavenly enjoyment after this life on the earth, everybody actually is trying to get something very nice. But of all those different people, the bhakta, he gains the supreme destination, Krishna. He attains not only paradise without God, which is just basically finishing one's pious credits in the bank, Sometimes we have a bank balance and we put our money there and try to save things and so that in a later time we can afford something nice, a car or something nice, some nice clothes or something. So in a similar way, this is working with our good and bad karma that we create. We will have to enjoy or suffer this. But the bhakta who's engaged in devotional service, understanding that Krishna actually is the Supreme Lord of all sacrifices and the supreme governing principle of the material manifestation and also of the demigods, he's basically Ishvara Parama Krishna, the Supreme Ruler. One who does understand this, that yes, there is a God and I should actually serve him with love and this is my goal in life, this is how I can achieve lasting happiness and the loving relationship that I'm looking for. Such a person, he can have this determined faith. He can have this determination anyway. And this is needed to go through this process of Bhakti Yoga. Determination, enthusiasm, patience, and also that we need to study the books. So in today's verse, different things were mentioned, and I would like to focus a little bit on different qualities or different attitudes that a devotee has. Because we hear the example of Maharaj Kulashekar, who's cited in this verse and in the purport by Srila Prabhupada. And also Srila Prabhupada explains that Arjuna, he has a doubt. he's putting these doubts in front of Krishna. And in the first, as in the verse from yesterday, he's addressing the Lord, O Purushottama. It means Purusha Uttama, or supreme ruler, supreme person. So Krishna, Arjuna is well aware that actually Krishna is the supreme lord of all that is and the supreme authority. So he puts his doubt for clarification in front of Krishna. And this is exactly what a devotee should do. You know this verse, Tadvidhi Pranipatina, that when a devotee wants to learn the truth, he needs to approach a spiritual master who has seen the truth and surrender to him, first of all, then inquire from him submissively. This is what Arjuna here does. He asks him, okay, now I have this doubt somehow. And please, you know, Krishna, O Madhusudan, Arjuna even says, please destroy this demon of the doubt that somehow has arisen. Why a demon? Because doubts can interrupt or can be an obstacle in devotional service. They can hold us back. So therefore it's very important to inquire and to investigate, okay, how I can make further advancement, what do I do wrong, and how can I, you know, do it correct. It's very important, actually. But we should understand that Arjuna's doubt, because Arjuna is a pure devotee, basically. He actually has a direct relationship with Krishna in friendship, the rasa of friendship. And not only that, he is directly seeing and conversing with the Lord. So he's a pure devotee. We can understand that. So one can ask, okay, but how is it then now Arjuna is doubting, right? But this is by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, so that actually Arjuna can ask these questions and put the questions in front of the Supreme Authority for the benefit of all of us, of all the living beings, of all the world. Because Arjuna is acting as like our role model. So he's our guru, and he's asking his spiritual master for clarification. And we should also do that. So, also, one point that struck me a lot is that actually Arjuna, he has this doubt, okay, but what happens with the devotee at the time of death? And I think this is a very realistic kind of calculation, that from the prayer of Maharaj Kulasekhar has been a little bit more clarified and investigated, where it is said that at the time of death, the whole bodily situation and mental situation is disturbed. We don't get proper air, and our voice may choke up and may cough or something. So if you're in that completely disturbed, deranged situation of the body, then how will it be possible for us to, you know, focus our mind on Krishna when we're so much occupied already with all the disturbances? It's quite a relevant question, isn't it? And in the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 13, in text 8 to 12, and this is actually one of the items that Krishna explains to be knowledge. He said that to know the evil of birth, death, old age and disease is very, very important. So actually Arjuna has a very realistic approach. He sees, oh yeah, maybe I will not be able to remember you, you know, my Lord. So what will happen, you know? So therefore he inquires further. Then, to link this with Maharaj Kulasekhar, when he is offering the prayer to the Lord, we can also read it again. And now my mind is undisturbed and I am quite healthy. If I die immediately thinking of your lotus feet, then I am sure that my performance of your devotional service will become perfect. But if I have to wait for my natural death, then I do not know what will happen, because at that time the bodily functions will be disrupted. Better let me die immediately. So we can see from this thing, the first of all, Maharaj Kulasekhar, he has also complete knowledge. He knows how things are working, and also that by constant remembrance of Lord Krishna, the devotee actually in devotional service achieves the perfection, just what Krishna said before in the last verse of the seventh chapter. So, but furthermore, he is showing the example that he is completely detached from the body. He says, okay, rather let me down, let me die now when I'm still in a healthy condition and I can focus my mind on you, my Lord, because then I can be sure, you know, that I attain you. And who knows what's going to happen, you know, when I die a natural death, you know, maybe I will not be able. So another thing that he's doing, he seeks shelter and protection of the Lord. And these are also very important items in the process of surrender. And this is also outlined from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but I did not too much research it. I hope I can do it. There are six specific items, and two of them is also to seek shelter, to see the Lord as the only refuge for oneself, and also to see the Lord as a protector and maintainer. These are very important items in the process of surrender. So this is what Maharaj Kulasekhar does here. He is asking the Lord, oh, please protect me. And then from the word-for-word translation, Arjuna also indicated another quality of a devotee. He says, how can you be known by the self-controlled? Yeya asi niyatatma bihi. This is the last line. So, self-control is also a very important principle in devotional service. Because unless we can control our mind and senses, we will not be able to apply the knowledge of the Shastra. Krishna says in the end of the third chapter, or fourth chapter, I'm not sure, he says that, in the third chapter, he says that the sitting places of lust are the mind, intelligence, and the senses. And one can only conquer this lust, and by a transcendental intelligence. By first of all, disciplining the mind by transcendental instructions. And this is why we have this wonderful book, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, we have the classes, and we can also, outside of the classes, converse with other devotees, reveal our mind in confidence, and or explain something nice, be Krishna Katha. So this is actually very important to understand our real position. Okay, now I want to stop. I explained a little bit about the attitude of the devotee, a little bit about the connection with the previous chapter. So if there are any questions, please don't be shy. Or comments, critics. Welcome. Thank you for presenting us with your association. Yeah. I don't know, can I ask you something? What was the most relevant point from the class for you? It's a little bit unconventional, I know, but... Wonderful, thank you. You exactly hit the jackpot, so to say. This is, you know, Krishna, he's explaining in the 8th chapter, starting from verse 5 until the end of the 8th chapter, he's explaining on that particular subject, you know, what will happen at the time of death and how one can remember him. He's explaining exactly that process, you know, how we can attain him. And these further points that the 7 other questions that Arjuna asked, because he explained them before, he is not too much reciprocating to them. He's just briefly this explaining, okay, Adiyakya means the governing principle of the sacrifice, Adibhuta is the governing principle of the manifestation, of the material manifestation, and things like that. But then Srila Prabhupada, he explains that the most important thing for us to be prepared to meet with death is to already now practice Krishna consciousness. Practice. Because we cannot expect that, you know, okay, maybe sometimes we hear that a person says, okay, you know, I'm still young, you know, I can engage myself in self-realization when I'm a little bit older, right, when I'm, you know, retired or something and I have time for that. Now I have family and business and so many things to do, right, friends and society. I don't have time for that, Prabhu. It's okay, one can understand this, but we never know when the death will come. It's not necessarily that it will come and we will be 100 years old or 80 or... My father, he left his body with 51. He just went in early retirement because his body was so much finished from working under the earth for so many years and everything. And then all of a sudden he developed this cancer. This cancer was there. He was full of cancer and within less than half a year he quit his body. It was such a shock. You know, can you imagine you work all your life and then finally you fight for your early retirement and, you know, then you get it, but then you immediately leave your body? So, what we practice at this time now is very important. And therefore it's also recommended that we practice intense bhakti yoga. Not just something, a little bit like, you know, but we should really go for it. We should study the Shastra, we should learn how to associate nicely, even for the sake of associating with our mind. We need to be good association for ourselves. Is that a good answer for that question? Yeah, that's true. And also in old age, it's not so easy to learn. There's some kind of proverb that a young tree you can bend, you know, but if the tree is old, you know, it's like hard, and then you cannot move it very much. So. We have the experience that we have so many pattern, right, from our childhood or something, so many conceptions and, you know, things, and it's quite difficult to change these habits. This is very important, therefore, to already start when one is young. As soon as one can understand the necessity, the urgent need for self-realization, one should start. This is also, for example, if you learn to play Mridanga, and you learn it by yourself and you don't learn it completely properly, and then later on you go to some teacher and who is showing you how to play proper, is so difficult to get rid of these mistakes, you know, that you, because the mind is so much habituated to these things. Therefore it's good to immediately learn everything as good as possible. Really go for it. Otherwise we don't know where we will end in next life, which body we will get, or when we come back here. And now we have such a nice opportunity to be in Lord Chaitanya's movement. You know, just 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya was there, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, and he distributed the topmost gift, pure love of Godhead, Krishna Prema. No other form of Krishna, Nishinghade Varaha, no other form ever gave this contribution. So we are, you know, at the source, basically. And ISKCON still is in the pioneer years. So instead of wondering, okay, you know, being in this reactive mood, you know, oh, the bad authorities, they don't understand me at all. No, we should become proactive. We should be concerned, okay, how I can be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. Because it's in our hands that we can shape ISKCON and we can, you know, contribute in this way to the world, to the people in general. And even if this is just our own example that we're giving to people, this is already so impressive. Okay, thank you very much. I'm again a little bit late, but not too much. Grandhatrat Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaurabhaktivinoda ki jai.